Hey, and welcome back to Right Hand Drive, guys. This week we're at episode 14. Psh, big time.
Oh, yeah, 14.
And so this week is part two of week two in Japan. So we're just going to kind of bust through all of what we did, like on the second half of that last leg of the tour. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much where we left off, we were headed back to Tokyo, right?
Right, right. It was end of week fest, and yeah, heading back towards Tokyo to have some action.
Yeah, so we thought we were wicked smart, so we parked over there at Daikoku and left our rig at Daikoku.
Yeah. I got a mint parking spot.
Yeah, like literally the closest to what we thought, being our first time there, what we thought was going to be the open rest area. But really, all that closed down at a certain time, and there was a Lawson's that you ended up hitting on the other side, but still right, cool. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we park there, and we head out, and, you know, I'll let Aaron talk a little more just about what Moon Eyes is and what the deal is with it, but that's where we headed after that.
Yeah, we went to Moon Eyes right there in Yokohama, and if you don't know, Moon Eyes is like a, I don't know, it reminds me of like a 60s, 50, late 50s, 60s, 70s, like hot rod shop.
For sure.
Definitely American, you know, just
like
all the hot rods, you know.
Yeah.
They had, you walk in there and the first thing they have is like, in the garage is a Camaro drag car, but it's also next to a Beetle. And then right outside that garage are two Toyota Duallys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know,
wild.
Such a weird vibe,
yeah.
But it's definitely a popular place over there. And
it was bumping heavy. They even got like their own security parking people and everything.
Yeah, it was legit. And you know, they had like a little cafe beside it, and like, the place was crowded. Like,
oh, for sure.
And it was just the middle of a day on a Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, it was just kind of wild to see. And, you know, seeing all this Americana type stuff. And I don't know, you like walk up to the people that work there expecting to speak English, but obviously we're still in Japan.
Yeah, for sure.
It was definitely cool to see. And that place is definitely a cool vibe. And they definitely have a lot of merch.
Yeah, their marketing is absolutely on point as far as understanding what their core like buyer wants. Like, I've heard of the place and everything, but I wasn't really into it. We saw Yacht had gone on a spree there, and I'm like, how'd this guy go on a spree there?
Right.
Sure enough, like,
you find out.
Yeah. I left with a pair of Vans for my daughter, a bunch of stickers, you know, some shirts. Like, it was all just like super fresh, and like, even though it was kind of styled like older, it still was super relevant. So,
right. Yeah. They definitely got a timeless look, and yeah, it's just a cool place. And a lot of people use their steering wheels.
Yeah, like, I noticed they had a whole wall of them.
Yeah. Their steering wheels are very popular. And I can see why.
Yeah. I mean, they were cool. Maybe not like my style, but definitely
right.
I could see.
Throw it in your bass boat.
Yeah. That's what it reminds me of, or like an old Impala, something like that. But so that was a really, really cool place to just really check out. Even if you're not into the old Americana style thing, I guarantee you end up at least finding a sticker that you think is sweet.
Right. And it was kind of cool to see the random Americana type stuff they had there. Like, upstairs, they had just like random parts off of random old vehicles for sale.
Yo, they like, did. Cadillac taillights. I was like, what?
Right. Or like, Ace Hardware aprons. Like,
yeah.
Where did you even find these? Like,
yeah,
what the,
that is
like, what is going on?
To think that, like, but people buy it, right? Because it's
right.
Like, some people style their stuff like Americana. Like, let's just say their, you know, game room or whatever, they style it like that.
Right.
You know? And so that's cool. Our influence is, like, awesome over there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
We shopped till we dropped at Moon Eyes, and then we decided, like, yo, we worked up some hunger.
Right.
Yeah. So we tried to find a place to eat, right? Like some Wagyu or some good,
Yeah, offering. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we tried to find, I mean, it's hard to find bad food over there if you have an open mind in that sense. So, yeah, that night we definitely wanted to get some Wagyu, and I think we were trying to find an all-you-can-eat spot, right?
Oh, like yeah, that's right. Because we had seen something that was like, oh, what? You can do that?
Right, right. I'm like, dude, load me up, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we went up in this place and we're like, well, hopefully there's some seating. You know, we're kind of, it was a Wednesday night. We were just hoping, right? But yeah, we walked up and they had these little lockers to lock your like shoes and stuff in. We're
yeah. You had to take your shoes off before you even like,
sat down,
which is like it's traditional, I guess.
Because it was like the recess seating style where like our legs were down in like a little cave.
It was pretty cool, like, and they had the grill on top, and I don't know, that was just so cool. You don't have places like that in America. That
Not like that. I mean, you can find
especially
it.
Especially taking off your shoes. I don't know if you would want people taking off their shoes here.
Probably not. That's true. The hygiene may be a little different. But so, yeah, we were sitting there and, you know, it ended up not being all you could eat. And like some of these places will have a tablet that also has English, and some of these places have a tablet that's not English at all. So we have to be trying to translate the words to figure out what we want to order. Kind of a mess.
Yeah, you know? It wasn't too bad. I mean, like I said, if you had an open mind, you would probably order something you didn't really mean to, but it would probably be great.
Yeah, for sure.
And just, I think by the end of the night, we had both tried cow tongue.
Right.
And that was delicious.
Yeah, and that wasn't something we had wanted or necessarily planned on, but we're like, screw it, let's just do it.
Right, right. When in Japan, right? Like, might as well.
And so we didn't really know what it was, but like the tables across from us, there was three of them in a row, and they were packed, and everybody knew each other at the two tables, and like we're laughing, and we were kind of getting a kick out of them because they were so pumped and thrilled. And then all of a sudden, everybody one by one starts standing up and like talking to the three tables.
Right? Were we in someone's birthday party or something?
Or like some company outing? I couldn't tell, but it was just so funny because we have no clue what they're saying, but we're like kind of getting energy off from it.
Right, you know? Dude, I was laughing and having a good time with them. I didn't even know what they were saying.
Yeah, seriously, it really was.
Or
like
what they were drinking, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, and so we were, you know, kind of happy to be able to, of course, have super good food.
Right.
You know, but also to kind of witness a, like, celebration of some sort.
Right.
And because no one else, by the end of it, no one else was in there except for us and those three tables. So it was kind of like we were just like watching from the outside. So after that, we were like, all right, we need to beat feet. We need to get back to Daikoku.
Right, right.
Because we're not missing this.
Right. So yeah, we'd already missed out on one night in the first week when a lot of people were out. But this was, right, the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Of Golden Week. So
so a lot of people were out, I feel like.
Right,
because the whole place was packed.
The second half of Golden Week, that's when a lot of people have the days off and like their vacation.
Like Wednesday is almost the first night that the next day you'll have off.
Right. So yeah, we got back there and it was packed. And
we split up and just like hardly said a word. We just like went our ways and started checking everything out. Like immediately it was just like boom, boom, boom. Like
it was everything.
Super skyline. Yeah. Like just CTR, like everything, just one after another. It was like
just like you see in the videos.
It was the dream.
Crazy.
Yeah. We were just like
Wednesday night.
Like just I was sending my buddy back home just pictures of all these cars. Like, I still got them in my photo roll, and I'm just like, damn, man. Like, there was some sweet cars there.
Yeah, for just a random meet, you know.
Wednesday night, just everybody getting out. And then we met the motorcycle photo guy.
Massey?
Massey, yeah.
Yeah. Larry Chen did a little video on him and how he shoots these cars on a Harley, pretty much. He has like a rig set up with several cameras on his Harley.
Yeah, they say five.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild. And then, he's just taking pictures of all these cars and like
really beautiful cars. And
right. And they look
amazing.
Insane. They look, yeah. They're really good shots, and they're unique shots because of the angles and stuff you can get because he's on a motorcycle.
Right, and there's no rigs. Like, if you'd have to have rigs coming off the car in order to even get those shots normally. So, yeah, I'm going to, when I go back, I'm booking a little shoot with him. He was, like, ecstatic to shoot the car. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I'll be excited to go through that experience for sure.
We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, beyond that, I mean, Daikoku was just crazy. Yeah. I remember we were actually talking to him, and it was right next to one of these like little speed bump walkway things.
Yeah.
And someone just totally ramped their car right up over it.
It's wild. Some of them took it like slow and delicate, like they were delivering a baby. Some people like dumpster fire, just
straight up and over. No angle, no nothing, dude. Bumper scraping, everything muffler, scraping. Everything scraping. Yeah,
upper control arms probably scraping. Damn.
Their ass is probably scraping.
Yeah. So, you know, about like 9:45, 10:00, the police come in with their bullhorn and start like, almost like, I don't know, like a robot, like talking, like saying it, waiting like a minute, saying whatever they're saying, waiting a minute. And I was just like, holy crap, dude, like what's going to happen here?
Right. What's about to go down?
Yeah. Like we got no clue.
Yeah. Luckily, I mean, they didn't really shut it down right then and there while we were there.
Yeah. No, we left because we were headed to a hotel for that night so we could wash our armpits and, you know, shave and do all that, you know, maybe, no, I don't know. We didn't even worry about the laundry that night because we were so burnt out on like laundry. Like,
and dude, yeah, just burnt out from the day and just like
it was
trying
wild,
to take in like everything that we saw in that sense.
Yeah, we're checking in at like, you know, 10:45, like 11 o'clock at night.
And yeah, I think it was really like closer to midnight. It was,
yeah,
it
probably was.
Late.
Yeah,
it was
like. Late. And so this was the Westin Yokohama. It was a beautiful hotel. Like everything about it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was weird though. You had to go to the 23rd floor to check in.
Yeah, yeah, it was so weird.
But then back down to catch another elevator to come up to your room. It's like, what is going on?
It was like
on?
Navigating the train stations or something.
Yeah, man. I was like, I need a coffee for this. What's going on?
So yeah, we stayed there because the next day we were going to kick it with Albo. So we wanted to just make sure that we were fresh for that. And so, yeah, we knew we had to get up early too because we wanted to, again, like get with Albo on time, which was 9 a.m. at Abina is where we were meeting him. And we left, this whole time we've left the camper at Daikoku.
Right.
Yeah. So it's still chilling there. It's like a landmark at this point. Everybody's like, hey, it's a camper.
Right. Yeah. And I actually spotted it in a few people's videos that were there that day. And
yeah,
it's pretty funny. Like, hey, that's our camper.
Right. Hell yeah. We were there. So we left it there. Like I said, we stayed at the hotel and then we're meeting Albo and Abina at 9 a.m. And so we ended up hitting some traffic and whatever else. And then he ended up hitting some traffic. And our original start time was like 10 a.m. We moved it to 9. Ends up just being 10 anyways. Right. Yeah. But so then he shows up and he's like, hey, let's go in and get some food. And this is where we'll pick up when we hit the Albo episode.
Right. Yeah. That's
so
definitely a whole episode.
That's
for that,
a whole episode.
For sure.
Just know that we had a blast. And if you are interested in, you know, some assistance in Japan, hit him up and I'm sure he'll work something out with you for sure.
Super cool dude.
Yeah. So, you know, we were with Albo till like 10, maybe 11 and 10,
yeah, it was
30.
Pretty
late. Yeah, like all day, all night. But then he had told us that he heard that Daikoku got shut down and we were like, Well, maybe it's like not. You
right,
know,
because
right.
Yeah. How can they shut it down?
How could we literally
area.
Said this? We were like, they can't shut Daikoku down.
Right.
We pull up there, they shut Daikoku down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the parking area for cars was completely blocked off.
Yeah. By like crazy, like barricades with raised lights on. Like it was like, when we come over this hill, and if you've been to Daikoku, you know, you come down over this hill and you can like see the whole thing. Yeah. And I was just like, oh shoot.
And it was empty.
Empty besides the camper. Our camper. Yeah. So that's the only thing. And I'm like, dude, how are we even going to get this? Like, I start kind of like getting a little anxious because I'm like, we need like the camper.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to gaijin our way out of it.
Yes. That's what Albo told us to do. So I pull over for a second in some of these few spaces. I pull over for one sec. But like he said, it's all trailer truck parking left in like a few cars. Like, splattered around that are at Lawson's or whatever. So I just pull over in these parking spots and man, like this
train truck
just like burr, burr, and I like put my arm out and I'm like waving him by and he's like burr, burr, and I'm like, dude, and then all of a sudden the cops
starts blowing the whistle
and I'm like, oh my gosh, I almost
I'm
like
dude, move, we're gonna get murdered,
seriously,
move, move.
Like they're all like kind of sprinting at us like blowing the whistles, the guys like literally on top of our car in the trailer truck. Dude, I just put in first gear and just I had to just go, I just got out of there. Yeah, so that was like, you know, a little stressful, but you know, we were like, well, let's just go ahead and find somewhere else to park anyways.
Right. Then that's when we went back to where we met Albo at
Abina. Yeah, it just made sense at that point. So we went and we took that you know, to Abina. And
nice parking area.
Yeah, it really is. It like we ended up actually kind of spending like a decent amount of time there. And it's right outside the city. I'm sure, you know, if you've been there, you probably saw it by there. And so we kind of just chilled. Obviously it's late the next day. We were like, dude, let's just take a chill day,
right?
Let's just rest a little bit, let's sleep in a tiny bit, let's catch up on, you know, stuff. So we ended up recording an episode, which if you've been listening live from Abina, that's literally that was that day that we took the rest day. But you know, by the end of the day we're like, damn, we're in Japan, like what the hell are we doing?
Right,
like we're chilling in Japan.
We're just hanging out.
Sweet. So one thing that we had on our list on week one that we didn't really end up achieving was Shibuya.
Right.
That
right,
was
right.
Just something
the
that
crossing.
Yeah, we, you know, and we had wanted to bring Amber and whatnot, but like it didn't work out. So we still had to hit it. And so we jumped to GTR, headed over.
Yep.
So our first like parking situation where they just take the car. The conveyor belts,
dude,
take the car.
So cool.
Yeah, like we didn't really know we were going into this, but then like it's time to pull in. There's just, yeah, these conveyor belts and they're like, yeah, just park on there and pull your e-brake and stuff. Okay.
Right.
We walk through the doors and all of a sudden the car's like, like
right,
goes
right.
sideways like wicked fast.
Like,
and
what?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
But it was cool. They had like a camera set up so you could watch your car like leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, get into the elevator and go wherever it goes. I'm completely clueless to how that type of parking garage works, but I'm very interested to find out. Like, that would be so cool to see the back end of that.
Right, where they end up going, like, once you lose sight of it, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, it was definitely an experience. And, you know, in Tokyo Drift, obviously, Bow Wow, his car comes out of, and that's what I was picturing, like,
oh,
the carousel,
dude, was that
style.
It?
I don't think so. No, because this, wow, that's really funny because they were by Shibuya for that.
Right.
But yeah, no, it was, that was a carousel style and this was conveyor belt style. So
yeah,
like
right.
I'd never seen either. So that was a really cool thing. And so obviously if you've been to Shibuya, you're like, you know, it's a mess, kind of like it's just
right.
Wild and people trying to get pictures in front of all the people walking and like
right.
So we picked out this Starbucks. We were like, dude, there's got to be a view from there.
Yeah,
like we literally could not find where to buy the Starbucks, but we got our view and we got our video. Like we were trying to get Starbucks, just
right.
Couldn't do it. Like
just literally couldn't.
They no clue where that was.
I hadn't. Yeah,
to this day, no idea.
Clueless.
So we got our Shibuya video and, you know, we checked it out and we ended up walking down a side street and grabbing some food.
Yeah.
Another, you know, kind of translate the menu type deal.
Right.
We're
right.
Like, oh man, this stinks. Hey, but
gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, so we had our grub and then Aaron had been talking to one of the guys that we had seen after Weekfest with a blue LM33.
No, it was the guy with the R34.
Oh, it was with the 34. Yeah. So either way, he's talking to one of the boys and they're like, hey, come out to the Tokyo Underground meet.
Yeah, yeah. He pretty much, whenever I tagged him in that picture, he had sent me a DM saying, yo, thanks for the shot. That's cool. Here's this pin. We're having a meet Saturday night. You know, said a few people were going to be there. Said it was going to be like 50 cars. And yeah, we showed up, dude, and it was...
It was pretty wild.
It was insane.
It was like, pretty much like the best cars from Weekfest, plus yeah. like the cars that the dudes were too... were beyond Weekfest.
Right.
All came. Like, that's it, and that's it.
Yeah, like a group of NSXs.
Yeah. Like no, there was not one car there that was subpar or like whack or anything.
Right.
Like they all had their own flavor. Like the EG Civic, it's like the famous car from Japan, this EG yeah, Civic. Yeah. That's like
the Kawaii fitment.
Yeah, the Kawaii. Yeah, like there was just so much stuff, like just GTRs for days, like all beautiful cars. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah. It was insane. And it was kind of surreal just being at like a normal type car meet, I guess you could say.
It was like elite car
well,
meet.
Well, yeah, but it you know what I mean? Sure. It wasn't like a car show in that sense. It was just like, you
people
know, everyone,
chilling.
Yeah, everyone knew each other for the most part, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And yeah, the caliber of cars was just insane.
Yeah, it really was. And so
there was even a Tokyo Drift RX-7.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was a VLSI kitted RX-7.
I
yeah,
think that was the first one we saw, and I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but like they're sick, though.
Yeah.
The rollout was insane.
Yeah, because the exit had like this little kicker up to yeah. it. Seeing all these slammed cars like trying to get out of there and, you know, multi-point turnaround to get parallel with the curb to
yeah.
even
try
to get out, dude. Which
yeah,
that was a red S14 that I saw initially whenever we pulled up. He was trying to get out, right?
Yeah.
He's like back and forth. That same car was on track not even 2 days later, drifting.
Right.
Which
yeah,
is
yeah,
kind of
that
crazy
is cool.
to think.
Yeah, that he was like, his car is so well taken care of that he can track it and kind of show it, so to speak,
right.
and like he maintains it to that point.
Right.
And was that the same one that was on the
carrier?
The carrier.
Yeah,
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 yeah. So that's the thing. These dudes love this so much that they bring their car on a carrier, unload it, park it.
Yeah.
Load it back up and bounce, like
right.
because they could have just left it home, but they wanted to be there to that point.
Right.
Where like they're not going to drive it, but shit, they'll carry it and like show up. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Because I mean, this is like what's in the bay, but it's in Tokyo. Like,
yeah,
it's,
for sure.
It's not
legit.
Out in the middle of nowhere. It's in Tokyo.
Yeah. Like in an industrial like space in like a loading dock area. And, you know, we have pictures of this on our Instagram at Right Hand Drive Guy or at RHDGYS. And you can see this stuff. But yeah, that was definitely a great experience as far as, like you said, the organic, like the true tuner guys and walking up on that and just seeing like all these guys with amazing cars sharing
right.
that same thing. Yeah, that
yeah,
was an
so
experience.
Cool. It was like really, it was cool.
Yeah, I feel thankful that we got to do that. But at that point, like I said, we kind of showed up like in the last 20 minutes of it. So kind of like Weekfest, we had enough time to see everything, but like not enough time to necessarily fully enjoy it, you
right.
know, but still thankful to have been there. So we headed back to Abina that night for a camper night.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, and so, you know, we wanted to make sure we got our rest. We didn't really have a ton of plans for the next day because it was going to rain.
Yeah, well, actually remember when we got back to Abena, it was like, it was like a whole other car meet.
Yeah.
Like we pull right in and there's a row of like 20 R34s.
Yeah. And then like the same amount of stages.
Right. Right. We go down a little farther where the camper is and we're actually, the camper is blocked in by stages, a few stages. Yeah. And then there's like other 260 RS stages. Like it was just crazy.
Yeah. There was like Autex. Yeah. It was sick. It was like, damn, okay, this is kind of crazy. Like, right.
But damn, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, like that was kind of the thing, right? Like we were kind of beat. And so at that point, like we checked out all the cars. Cars are awesome. But like we have to like sleep and like it's not thick wall camper.
No,
like,
no. So you're hearing these RBs whistling just off
lighting
all
it
night.
Up. Yes, all night. Like you think, oh, it'd be cool to go to sleep to the purr of an RB.
No, not at all.
It's like, so, but whatever, you know, we had to take that with a grain of salt in the sense of like, we're lucky to even be here. Yeah. We're lucky to have all of these cars in this parking
lot.
Could
have been worse. Could have been 350Zs.
Or BMWs
light.
Or something. yeah. So, you know, the next day, again, we were just like kind of chilling. It was raining. We weren't really going to be doing much car stuff. We did, I think what we hit like a few up garage, you know, just the stuff we could do indoors. And since a lot of stuff was closed for Golden Week, we were kind of limited to like more corporate style places like that, you know, like Amore Factory or anywhere like that was all closed.
You know? Sadly it was. We didn't.
Yeah. Everything like, so, but whatever, like we have a day in Japan. So we just hopped around and then, you know, we were hungry. So we decided to hit some of the conveyor belt sushi.
Yeah, that was dank.
It was like a sweet thing. We had also done it earlier in the week with Albo, which we'll get into in that episode. But this time it was different. It was a different place. It was like a different setup. It had two tracks instead of one.
Yeah, yeah.
We had no clue. Yeah.
It had one that was like you could grab whatever you wanted and it would charge you by the plate or something like
and
that.
And it went slow, yeah.
Right, and it was a slow one. And then it had the upper one, the Shinkansen, was the stuff you would special order.
Right. So if you order it on the screen, then it's coming on the Shinkansen. Yeah. And it, on the bottom, it's just slow ride metro, like grab what you want. And so there's a little slot where you put your plates. And so when you order, that counts as a plate. So it knows you're going to put that plate in there. But then when you grab something off the metro, that's all 115 yen. So like then that just adds with the, every extra plate's 115 yen. Well, they have this little game and we didn't start playing it at first. And then Aaron's like, well, what's this? And like starts playing it. And once you get every five plates, you get this opportunity to win a prize.
Right. It's not really like a game. It's not really interactive.
No.
It's really just like a...
You don't get to choose or do anything besides eat sushi.
Right, right. And shove plates in this little pocket.
Yeah. But, which is fun.
Yeah, it's super cool.
But so Aaron somehow gets his lucky try. And right on this first fifth plate... Right. Boom, he gets a prize. Yeah. And it was what, a little eraser, like a...
Yeah, it was a...
Manga little, type race, eraser.
Yeah, yeah. It was some anime character.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, of course, you know, I got two daughters and I'm like, oh, shoot, like I really don't have enough like little gifts for him. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to win me one of these erasers.
Dude went 15 plates deep.
15 plates deep. No eraser.
No wins.
This man could see the look of disappointment on my face and considering going for 20 plates. He saw me thinking about a 20 plate. No. He gives me the eraser. That's
like,
real
here, dude,
shit.
You earned this.
Yeah, that
you,
was
you
real.
Deserved. I didn't. I just I got my five in and hit the button.
Yeah, but you know he did end up doing what, almost nine or eight plates.
Yeah,
and
plus I had some bigger ones that couldn't fit in the slot.
Right.
So,
yeah, and each of those had like triple. Three on it. Yeah. So, you know, it was like I give it to my daughter and she's like, "Oh, where'd you get this?" And I'm like, well, to be honest, Aaron got it. He won. I tried. I really tried. I told her the truth, though. I let her know that you won. But yeah, so conveyor belt sushi was definitely just a cool experience and like fun, right? And like cheap, like super cheap.
So cheap.
Like we're eating everything.
To get this type of quality of sushi in America, like
forget
and
it.
This amount, you're spending hundreds.
Yeah, and we were spending like $20.
Yeah, if that.
Like, it was so cheap, it was crazy. And they had like self-serve beer. Like yeah. You just had to put your money in the little vending machine to get a cup. Like it was cool.
Yeah, dude.
We weren't drinking the beers though, because there is a zero tolerance drinking and driving in Japan.
Yeah.
And we are absolutely not going to risk an R34 GTR being towed in Japan and getting a DUI.
Yeah, no way. Whew.
Anyways. So,
everyone in the car gets in trouble.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Aaron would have also gotten a DUI. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been crazy. So, you know, after that, we're like, all right, like we gotta pass out. Like we gotta get some sleep. Did we head to that night? That was Sunday night, was Sunday night.
That was the last night,
full night. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. Basically, the next morning we knew that we needed to return the camper and the car and see Type 1. We had all these plans.
Right, right. And that's all over the place.
That's all over the place. So, you know, we want to do a hotel. We want to get some good sleep. We want to shower, you know, before the plane, you know, all that. We want to just make sure that we were on point. And so we stayed at, you know, some hotel in the Disney area because that was the farthest east that the little points that I have took us. So we hook it up and stay there. It was whatever. It was a hotel, yeah. You know, you could see Disney, but it was pouring still. We weren't even concerned about that. So the next morning, you know, we got to get that camper back.
Right.
9 a.m.
And we left it at Abena, so we had to drive
back there.
Right.
To
from
be
like
able
the Oklahoma-ish
to
Oklahoma-ish area to Abena.
Which was not like horribly out of the way.
No.
It was just another like stop. So, you know, whatever. We get to the camper place. Well, I get to the camper place and I'm like, where is this guy? I just saw him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I had also reminded you kind of last minute, like, hey, this thing's got to, like, have some fuel in it.
Right, right. So as soon as I got off the interstate, I was like, all right, got to get gas. Put it into my phone. It was like, turn around. I'm like, oh, okay. So I turn around, find a gas station, fill up, go back to the camper place, and I can't get back there because the maps keeps trying to take me through these tunnels that are limited height. And there was two or three times where I had stopped, got out, looked at the height of it, and was like, nah, this ain't happening. So I ended up wasting a bunch of time having to go way back around to the main road and like...
He's getting out. He's surveying the...
Dude, yeah.
Because if because here's the thing, right? We literally paid a deposit the same amount as renting, or is a little more than renting the camper.
Which was kind of wild.
Yeah, for 7 days, right? So this deposit was important because, like, we need it back.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to.
Yeah, he wasn't
do anything, especially on the last day. Like, had to be careful and was cool with it the whole time.
Yeah, we'd done good, and so you know, whatever. I get there and it's a different guy than when we picked it up, and he's like, who are you? And I tell him, and I say, my buddy will be here. And eventually Aaron gets there, and, you know, dude kind of, I don't know, like, what his deal was, but he thought we were cool or something, because he just, like, breezed right through it, asked us if we'd trade some, like, ripped U.S. bills.
Yeah, like, for 50
some,
bucks.
Yeah, for some not
like, old
20s ones.
And stuff for, like, new ones or something. I'm like, is this guy scamming us?
Yeah, I know, but he gave us like mad discounts on like the cleaning fee and the bedding fee and like all that. So I was like, all right, that's
cool. Polish guy.
Yeah, he's Polish. I had no clue. Like, he was cool though. Like he was whatever, right? So
Polish guy in Japan.
and so if you are looking for a camper, it's called Japan Camper Vans. Is like the name, Japan Camper Vans. It's like way out in East Bum, tight roads. Like you really can't even fit a camper through there, but you're forced to.
Dude, it's crazy.
It really is. And so Japan Camper Vans, look them up. They were straight up. I mean, we could pay U.S. money. Like everything was cool. Yeah. Like they didn't tax us on anything. So we returned the camper. Now we need to hit Type 1 because there is no way that we're not hitting Type 1. Like that was the one place that came to my mind when I'm like, where do I have to go in Japan? Because it's iconic the way that they have it set up. Okay. So we found some free parking somehow. I don't know if it was free, but we
free,
didn't pay.
Quote, yeah.
Well, it was dirt, not tar, so it should be free. But yeah, so we found some parking and we head over there and we come in downstairs and like direct view to the motor building room. Like,
yeah.
All four walls are glass, dude. Like,
right.
Well, three out of the four, including right. the one in the front of the place.
Yeah, that was wild.
Just nobody's have, building motors, but it's still cool.
Right, yeah. right. And you could see it was all climate controlled and just everything was clean and neat and everything had its spot. And
it was meant.
Yeah, it was cool.
Like, they do it right. And so you turn around and, you know, there's the lift that goes upstairs and then there's like two regular lifts. And there's three regular lifts and an alignment machine.
Right.
Like, all in a compact space. Not like here in America where they got miles in between some of this equipment.
No, they
like,
use their space very well.
Yeah. So there was a mechanic working on a DC2 Integra Type R. And we had heard later on that it was like just a race only car or whatever. And the guy was getting his maintenance done. But like, I was like right on that guy. Like, and you could have been literally handing him tools. I felt like,
yeah,
it was crazy. I was like, never have I ever been anywhere
where you can just walk through
it's and so just crazy. Be literally next to the mechanic. Don't bother him. Don't be rude.
Right.
Don't bother him. But you can literally look over his shoulder and it's all good. It was so cool. So you have to go upstairs through the outside.
Yeah.
Which we're like, where's the upstairs? Oh, shoot. Okay. So we head up the stairs and you turn the corner into the place. Really just walking up the stairs because the window, you can see the S2000. But you walk in that place and it's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Like they are legit, you know, right. they're up there working on the Civic Type R race car theirs that, you know, a bunch of different guys, you know, right, who right. they were, they've raced it, you know,
right,
and they're
like
doing
it was an American car actually. It yeah. had, they did the, I forgot, I think like 24 hours of Willow Springs or something out there out west, and Dayo Shihara, Tarzan Yamada, and a few other drivers were the ones driving it. You know, they still had their names on the window yeah. and all that. So
they were doing a service on it. It looked like a brake service while we were there. And like, we're literally close enough to this guy to have him hand us the brake pads. Like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
was nuts. Like, I'm still mind blown in the fact that they, A, insurance-wise, because America's all about insurance, insurance, insurance.
Right.
But B, just like, none of these dudes were getting annoyed and they're having to walk around. At
all
one point, there was like 15 of us up there, like at yeah. least. And so,
yeah, it was more of like a, it had like a homie hangout in
yeah.
the garage feel rather than, you didn't feel like you were in Spoon in that sense.
Right.
Like,
no, you felt like
Spoon,
you're at a homie's.
You
yeah.
think of this like laboratory and like,
yeah, super, you know, serious development.
Super serious,
like, yeah.
yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, they got doors and glass everywhere and all this rope. Right.
Yeah.
But no, it's none
zero
of that.
Rope. Not it's, a single rope.
Hey, welcome. Check it out.
What's up?
Right.
We're not selling anything.
Yeah.
We're not even selling a decal today. Like,
dude, they
it's
had
wild.
No type of anything.
They didn't want to sell you nothing. Like, unless you wanted to order maybe
I don't even
special
think they had
order
business
stuff.
Business
cards. Yeah. All I saw was a pamphlet for something. And I was just like, wow, this is nuts. Like, they don't even have, like, no merch, no trinkets, nothing.
Right.
Which, like, props to them, whatever. They're letting all of these people walk around knowing that 90% of them will never have work done with them.
Right.
Maybe they'll order their part from even a vendor or whatever. But that's, like, props, like, yeah. for them to even allow that. That was a sweet experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, like, our minds are blown from Spoon, you know, and we're getting kind of overrun with a bunch of other dudes. So
yeah,
we're
Hector
like,
was
let's
there
get out of here.
Engines.
Yeah, he was too. Three of them. And so we're like, we got to go anyways, right? We got to return the car. Like, we got to figure out how we're getting from Top Rank to Narita. Like, we
right.
got stuff to do. So we get on the road, head out, and, you know, it's a decent little drive, hour and a half, I think it was, something like that.
Yeah.
And So we get there and we meet up with the boys and, you know, tell them how much we love the car, that we get some pictures with them. And they say, yeah, no, we'll get you over the train station. Like, no stress there. And we're like, cool. So, you know, we kind of know what time we need to leave by, but we're like, well, they definitely know. So, like, right. You know, we just start combing the lot. Like, and there's everything in this lot that was there for PDI. Like, yeah. Everything. Like, I don't know. What'd you see?
A few S15s that were really nice. There was an S13 Silvia that was mint, that was pretty much all original, had maybe some wheels on it and maybe a wing, but it was mint. There was a Evo 7 or Evo 8 wagon
that was dope.
That was very cool. Any type of R34 in whatever spec.
Yeah, they had an M-spec NER. Like, just out in this parking lot, I had to take a bunch of pictures, and looking at them now, yeah, there was a Ferrari, bunch of Super Turbos, Evo 5s, you know, DC5 Type Rs, like, just, you know, yeah, everything, V-Spec, V-Spec 2, like, this is all just chilling in a parking lot that... Yeah. We're just walking around, right? Like, they're like, oh, yeah, go hit it, you know, whatever. And we're just combing through these cars. And all of a sudden, I look at the clock, and I'm like, oh, dude, like, we probably should have left, like, 15 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, 30 minutes before that, we see this, like, guy that works for Top Rank pull up a Nissan Leaf and, like, back it up to the bay where our car is, like, sitting. And I didn't think nothing of it at the time. I'm like, yeah, oh, they must be doing something, whatever. No, that's when the dude was ready to take us. But he didn't speak English. So he was like kind of too nervous to say anything to us.
Right.
But literally, so he was there. We would have gotten there 15 minutes early. Whatever. We didn't. We got in the Leaf. We headed over to the train station. It's like a super small rinky-dink one.
Yeah.
And we've never really been to a super small rinky-dink one. Nope. But we're like, all right, whatever. Hop on this train. All right, well, maybe, because we had to have, like, two stops and then, like, two transfers to different trains at train stations, and then our final one to Narita, which supposedly would get us right there. Anyways, things are taking, like, long, and all of a sudden there are these delays because there was some track work, and we're like, wait, what? Like, there's not another one of these flights until tomorrow at 2. So I'm like, okay, maybe I can get an Uber. Maybe I can, we can do this, do that.
Kind of scrambling.
Scrambling hard, but there's no Uber there. There's no getting a hold of a taxi. Like, we're looking for taxi stands in between train rides. So we're like, all right, whatever, we got to do this. So it's time to get on the last transfer to Narita. And and it says track 3 and 4 or something.
Yeah.
And we're like standing at 3, and like 4 says you have to have an extra ticket for the Skyliner and like all these things. And we're just like, no, this must be it. The train pulls up on track 3. We jump in. We're sitting there.
And like,
this feels weird.
Right, right. We looked at each other and be like, dude, are we on the right train? And I had looked up and I'm like, I saw it said local line and it didn't say anything about the airport, but it was there at the correct time and it was on the correct track. So I was just like, yeah, dude, I don't think we're on the right one.
And I was like, oh my God, we're not on the right one. And I like stood up and we're like running out and my suitcase breaks, like the handle breaks off it. And like, I'm just like, oh my gosh. And the thing closes right behind us.
Right.
Like it's gone. And we're like, this lady could tell that we're frantic because she's like, you looking for airport or whatever?
Yeah,
and we're like, is this it? And she's like, yeah, right here. For airport, right? She's like, yes, right here. And we're still not believing
her. And I'm like, for Narita airport, right? She's like, yes, dude, right here.
So, you know, we did end up getting on that train.
Yep.
We pull into Narita, you know, and like our plane is like boarding in 5 minutes, like when we're getting off the train in Narita. So my suitcase handle is broken. This dude's carrying some of my stuff. We're just like running, like trying to figure out where to go, right? We got our boarding passes on our phones.
Yeah.
Dude, it was wild. Like, we literally got off this train, like anywhere in America, we would have been screwed. Like, screwed. Like,
100%.
We got off this, like I said, 5, maybe 8 minutes before our boarding. We literally run, go through all this, get through security, run, literally get there with a little snack as we can walk on the plane.
Yeah.
Like, stop just long enough to take off our sweatshirts because we're sweating.
Yeah, dude, I was, yeah, we were running.
Yeah,
we
oh, yeah.
Running through just that airport. Sprinting.
He's like, dude, I haven't seen you run like this before. I'm like, I haven't seen me run like this.
We took the elevator at one point, dude, and every time it's, we had to go up three floors, and it stopped at every floor, and every single floor, we're just jamming the button to close the door, like, no, we're full, we're full.
It's just us and one other guy looking at us like we're crazy. Yeah, but.
But hey, we made it.
We did. It was
with
like,
a little time to spare.
Yes, and we got upgraded to first class, so we had the lay down seats for the bag. So like, because we're like, dude, we got upgraded, we cannot miss this,
right?
Like,
right,
this
dude,
is the one time, like, right. Come on, you know. So yeah, it was stressful at the end, but like, you know, I wouldn't have traded it for anything, even though like it definitely got stressful. I was like getting frustrated because I'm like, dude, I gotta get back. Like, it's been 15 days. Like, I gotta get out of here. Like, I got work to do. You too, you know? So, but we were definitely very thankful to be able to have this trip and, you know, be able to experience everything that we did. A lot of people, like I said, they say, wow, you guys, like, packed a lot in. Like, yeah, it was the dream tour.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it wasn't easy either.
It wasn't.
Nonstop.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, like, right, things wouldn't go right or one of us would get frustrated or whatever, but we just kept it moving, you know, and that was the beauty of the trip was that we had looked forward to this for so long that there was nothing getting in our way, like nothing. So, yeah, again, like, we're blessed, we're thankful, like, absolutely wouldn't take any of it back, but... That definitely completes this episode, number 14, Japan Trip, Week 2, Part 2. Coming up next, we got our Up Garage / Auto Box episode. Yeah. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, it's at RHDGUIS. And of course, you can find us streaming on all the major platforms. I'm Bobby. This is Aaron.
Yo.
See ya.